What do you desire? What do you truly desire? How you answer this question, of course, depends on who you are, where you are in life, the circumstances you find yourself in. To play with my friends, a four-year-old at our parish day school might say. To graduate or get into college, a senior in high school might say. To see my beloved again, a widow or widower might say. A few more months, a few more weeks to live, someone battling cancer or fighting to survive in a war zone might say. A drink of water, someone dying of thirst might say. What do you desire? Today's gospel story is about desire. The word in Greek is thelo, which translates into English as to desire, to want, to wish, to will, to intend. We hear this word first connected to Herod in the Pharisees' warning to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants, Herod desires to kill you." This isn't surprising, of course, given what we know about Herod and who he is, Herod the Great, the one who, history tells us, had his wives killed, son killed, and who we hear in another gospel account has infants and toddlers killed, all for fear of losing power. Herod the Great, who deals death when afraid his power is being threatened in some way, or that he doesn't have enough of it, who deals death in order to maintain his grasp or increase his power, which is connected to his sense of security, his pride, his ego. Does any of this sound familiar? Get away from here, Jesus, for Herod wants, Herod desires to kill you. And then there's Jesus and Jesus's response, Jesus's desire expressed in his lament. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Jesus's desire is like that of a parent, a mother, for her children, that they all be gathered together safe and sound under one roof, under the shelter of her wings. And we can surmise that safe and sound incorporates and includes being well, truly well, being whole. Those of us who are parents can relate to this feeling, this metaphor, this desire to have our children safe and sound, well and whole, under the safety of our wings. Jesus, in other words, desires nothing less and nothing more than the safety, health, well-being, and wholeness of God's people, of all of God's children, his brothers and sisters. Even those who kill truth tellers and stone those prophets sent to them, even those who would in time and soon turn against him. Now this too, Jesus's response and Jesus's desire, it's not surprising given what we know about Jesus and who he is, the healer, the teacher, the one who in the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel brings to life once again the even then ancient words of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This Jesus, who spends his whole public ministry embodying God's life-giving spirit of liberation and redemption, of salvation, healing, wholeness, and who, when warned of Herod's desire to kill him, has this immediate response: "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work." In other words, tell Herod, I am going about doing what I do and being who I am, bringing about God's kingdom, embodying God's salvation, and it's in God's time and timetable that I finish my work. No, it's not surprising that Jesus's expressed desire is what it is. And you, Jerusalem, were not willing, the third time that word appears in this passage. You, Jerusalem, were not desiring what I desire for you. And so what about you, and what about me? What do you and I desire? There's an old tale that goes something like this. One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. Perhaps you've heard this story. "My dear one, the battle between two wolves is inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a moment and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee replied, "The one you feed." The truth, of course, is that there is a Herod the Great and a Jesus the Healer, Jesus the Mother Hen, inside all of us. Inside each of us, one who desires power over, one who desires power with, one who seeks the other to serve oneself, one who seeks to serve the other as self, one who needs to win, to supersede, to dominate, one who loses so others can win, who steps back so others can step up and step forward, who steps down so others can rise. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this season of Lent is an invitation and opportunity once again to acknowledge these desires, these wolves inside each of us, and practice embodying the Christ desire in us. Practice feeding the wolf who is the lamb. Practice realigning our desire with God's desire for each of us and all of us, that we be one beloved community under one roof, each of us safe and sound, well and whole, each of us a beloved daughter and son of God. There are two wolves inside each of us. Which one wins? The one you feed. A confession by Martin Luther King Jr. that I'd like to remind us of. We just put it away, but we've been saying it together these last few weeks, and I wanted to bring it up again. Thou eternal God, out of whose absolute power and infinite intelligence the whole universe has come into being, we humbly confess we have not loved thee with our hearts, souls, and minds. We have not loved our neighbors as Christ loved us. We've all too often lived by our own selfish impulses rather than by the life of sacrificial love as revealed by Christ. We often give in order to receive. We love our friends and hate our enemies. We go the first mile but dare not travel the second. We forgive but dare not forget. And so as we look within ourselves, we are confronted with the appalling fact the history of our lives is the history of an eternal revolt against you. But thou, O God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us what we could have been but failed to be. Give us the intelligence to know your will, the courage to do your will, the devotion to love your will, the desire to desire what you desire. Just this past Friday, several of us gathered with our mayor, Brandon Scott, for a press conference in Edmondson Village in southwest Baltimore. Last Friday was the one-year anniversary of the passage of the American Rescue Plan Act. And as most of you know, we as Baltimore were given $641 million out of this act. On Friday, our mayor announced that $100 million of that $641 million is going to be put towards reinvesting in our communities, dealing with the crisis of vacancies, and making sure that every citizen in Baltimore, no matter who or where she is, has shelter and has a roof over her head. We will use everything, every resource at our disposal to eliminate blight and ensure our residents have access to resources that will keep longtime residents in their homes and foster a new home ownership in the residents of Baltimore, especially those who have been redlined historically out of home ownership. This, of course, is the first $100 million of a much larger investment. It will take about $1 billion over 10 years to make sure that this vision becomes a reality. It will take commitment and will and desire on all of our parts to see this through. But the good news is that we are not alone. We are never alone in our quest and in this vision quest, because God's Spirit guides and empowers us, and it's God who has given us this vision of health and wholeness. It's God's very heart that has placed this desire in our own. The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. I'd like to end with a poem that was written by another prophet in his own right, a prophet and poet and theologian from Ireland, Padraig O'Tuama, who graced us with his presence and words just this past Wednesday here in our sanctuary. And if you couldn't be here and you've missed it on YouTube, I believe it was recorded, and so you can watch, and I commend him to you. He is blessed with the gift of language to weave together people and places that have been sundered apart. And it's the poem that's called In the Name that I'd like to read excerpts of. In the name of goodness, of love, and of broken community, in the name of meaning, of feeling, and I hope you don't screw me. In the name of darkness and light and ungraspable twilight. In the name of mealtimes and sharing and caring by firelight. In the name of action, of peace and human redemption. In the name of eating, of drinking and table confession. in the name of sadness, regret, and holy obsession, in the holy name of anger, the spirit of aggression, in the name of forgive and forget, and I hope I get over this, in the name of Father and Son and unholy spirits, in the name of beauty and broken and beaten up daily, in the name of seeing our creeds and believing in maybe, we gather here a room full of strangers and speak of our hope land and talk of our danger, to make sense of our thinking, to authenticate lives, to humanize feeling and stop telling lies. In the name of the lost, the lonely, and the without direction, in the name of the early and the late and the wholly ineffectual, in the name of the straight and the queer, transgender and bisexual, in the name of touch-up and breakup and of breakdown and weeping, in the name of therapy and Prozac and of full-hearted breathing, in the name of sadness and madness and years since I've smiled, in the name of the unknown, the alien, and the holy in exile, in the name of the named and the unnamed, and the names of the nameless, in the name of the prayers that repeat, I wish that I could change this, in the name of goodness and kindness and intentionality, in the name of harbor and shelter and family. O God, let it be in your name, in desiring what you desire, that we pray and act and breathe and live. Amen.